It's time once again for a consultation with the ethicist, Randy Cohen. Randy writes the ethicist column for the New York Times Magazine, and he also drops into our New York bureau every few weeks to lay down the law, or at least the letter of the law, for our NPR listeners. But before we get to our listeners' questions, Randy, do you mind if I go first?
Oh, no, please.
Now that I've asked politely. When you're considering how to respond to ethical dilemmas, I'd like to know, because I think this is one that always is at the forefront. How much weight do you as an ethicist give to good intentions? The instance of, I didn't really mean to do it, being the classic excuse. Does it in fact kind of lessen the grievance?
In ethics, intent really does count. And you can see it in our legal system, too, where distinctions made between negligence or manslaughter or the various degrees of murder. You know, those are all distinctions not about what you do, but what you were thinking when you did it. Samuel Johnson, the great 18th century moralist, spoke about this. He said, the morality of an action depends on the motive from which we act. If I fling half a crown to a beggar with the intention to break his head, and he picks it up and buys victuals with it, the physical effect is good, but with respect to me, the action is very wrong. So from Johnson's point of view, ethics are determined by intent as much as anything else. Good intentions don't guarantee that you'll do good. But if you fail in that case, you won't be unethical. You'll just be inept. You know, it's the difference between a villain and a doofus.
Well, and as someone who is, you know, raised as a Catholic, then you'll be that much more guilty. And perhaps if you don't do right this time, maybe next time.
Yeah, I think we're getting into the distinction of being ethical and being damned to hell for all eternity. But it's a religious thing, and I'm a kind of secular guy.
Let's hear from our listeners. And I should point out that the letters we get can be long, so we've had to edit them down a wee bit. Elizabeth Lindau from Chicago writes, I had planned to do a PowerPoint presentation, but then I decided to have some slides made. I got quotes from $8 to $12 per slide. Then I found a lab that charged only $1.95 per slide. This seemed a bit low, so I had the person on the phone repeat it. When I picked up the slides, the total price was more than $60. They checked the price book. A slide-to-slide copy made was $1.95. A print-to-slide, what I needed, was $7.70. What would have been the proper resolution to this dilemma?
Well, first, she should be given a huge prize for not doing a PowerPoint presentation. You know, those cliches, those illustrated cliches that just make your head want to explode. So we have to admire her for that. I think it comes back to what we were talking about before, Jackie, that in ethics, intent really does count. And it does seem here that the slide shop had no intention to cheat her in any way. She's been given evidence of their goodwill. The other thing that was interesting is when she made her calls, she got a price range of $8 to $12. When she heard that they were $2, that should have told her something. If you go to the supermarket and you see steak for 11 cents a pound, you really do have an obligation not to be a bonehead and not to try to exploit someone's innocent error as a profit-making opportunity. Well, so I think she should accept their price as given.
All right. Well, let's ask Elizabeth Lindau, who's on the line now, what she thinks of that. Hello, Elizabeth.
Hello there.
Well, was that sort of the answer that you were expecting?
Well, I wasn't sure. Obviously, when I got the price of $1.95, it seemed obviously low to me. But then when I confirmed the price, I didn't know, you know, exactly what else I could do other than say, are you really, really, really sure it's only $1.95 a slide? So, and I was kind of desperate at that point, so I went with it.
So did you lose some money there?
Well, what happened is he asked, I said I couldn't really afford that. And he asked how many slides I would have taken had I actually known the correct price. And I said I would have taken probably about 3 slides. So he let me choose out of the 8 that I'd had made, the 3 that I would have had made had I known the correct price. And he kept the remaining 5.
Wow. Well, Randy, what do you think of that?
Well, I think the store acted in a kind of exemplary and honest way, and you can't fault them. You know, if a price is deliberately marked on an item, in many jurisdictions, there's a legal, you have a legal right to get the item at that price. But as an ethical matter, I think we have to accept some human fallibility. So I think you and the store acted very nicely indeed.
Oh, well, I'm glad we both got your seal of approval.
What did you think of being called a bonehead on public
radio? Well, I know. That's a little rough, especially since I've told all my friends to listen in.
No, certainly not you, Elizabeth. I was referring to the person who bought, you know, the sirloin steak for 11 cents a pound.
Hence bone.
You know, yeah, well, hence bone. You know, I think it's fair to say people should know that there's no such thing as a $15 Buick.
Thanks so much, Elizabeth.
Okay, thank you.
Next up is Rachel McKinney in Indianapolis, who writes, I used to work for a publicly funded organization, one of the branches of government, where lots of people cared about their jobs and did them well. But I had one coworker who did the bare minimum to get by. This person played online games all day, got upset when I wouldn't take on their work for them. Did I have a responsibility to talk with this person's supervisor and let them know how little they're doing? It never comes up around here.
Certainly not. As an ethical matter, we get down to a distinction here between different kinds of duties. There are things you must do, that you must show up at work. And then there are things you may do, but you're not required to do, like bring cookies into work. And I think ratting out your colleague, to use the pejorative, or making yourself a volunteer supervisor is the latter. You may tell your supervisor you're discontent with the colleague's work, but it's not your obligation. It's clearly the supervisor's duty to supervise. That's the person in a position to know fully what all the underlings are doing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not one worker's obligation to inform on the other in this way.
Well, since Rachel McKinney brought this to our attention, let's see what she thinks of your advice. Hello, Rachel.
Hello.
Hi. What'd you wind up doing about this champion solitaire player or whatever it was that this person was doing?
Well, I left the position and I've been out of there for a couple years now. It's just something that I wonder about just because it was publicly funded, so it is my tax dollars sort of supporting this person to be able to play solitaire. On the other hand, I agree with what Randy's saying, that it's not really my responsibility to rat on someone else, too.
It's really hard. I recognize it as a really hard job to make that decision. And I should make it clear, it's everyone's, what your coworker did, the way you described it, is completely wrong. One of the things that is an ethical obligation, whether it's government work or private work, is to do your job and not stick other people with your task. But that's a different question about whose responsibility it is to supervise them and report on them.
So, Rachel, you'll be feeling mindful in whatever job you come across then, I gather.
Well, and I won't be feeling guilty that it wasn't really my responsibility to be saying anything about this person. So
I have a feeling that listening to this, though, everybody will go back to work on Monday just a little more conscientious. Thank you very much, Rachel.
Thank you.
If you're feeling incorrect, unethical, or just plain confused, write to watc@npr.org and put the word ethics in the subject line, and you may get to pose your very own question to our ethicist, Randy Cohen. Thanks again, Randy.
Thank you, Jackie.